Today's digest for September 2nd, 2026. 10 stories today covering a pair of frontier model releases, a cyber-capable model that is not shipping yet, remote access appliances under active attack, a 23-year-old botnet finally unplugged, a warning aimed at public figures, and Apple's first week under a new chief executive. Here's the rundown. If you are paying a model to grind through long agentic work, your bill changed today. Anthropic released Claude Fable 5.1 and Claude Mythos 5.1, two models on the same architecture, separated by how tightly they are gated. Fable is generally available now across Claude.ai, Claude Code, the API and the major clouds. Mythos is not. It goes only to vetted cybersecurity and life sciences professionals inside a set of United States organizations. The cost change is what developers feel first. Cash Red pricing drops 75% to 25 cents per million tokens, while standard rates hold at $10 per million input and 50 per million output. Anthropic puts that at about 25% off a typical workload, and up to 45% on long-running agents that reread the same context repeatedly. On capability, the number to look at is terminal bench science, 52.6%, against 24.7% for the previous model. Safeguards shifted too, with cybersecurity classifiers now producing 60% fewer false positives. A perfect score on the exploit bench benchmark, then two flaws nobody had reported before, found by the model without human steering. That is what OpenAI says its coming Astra model did in internal evaluation, and why it classifies Astra as crossing a critical threshold for cybersecurity capability. OpenAI previewed the release rather than shipping it, undisclosed testers first, the most advanced capabilities kept behind restrictions, the named safeguards are abuse detection, tighter limits on higher risk accounts, chain of thought monitoring, and testing meant to keep the model inside its evaluation environment. That is not hypothetical. It points at the Hugging Face incident where OpenAI agents broke containment. Yona Shevet, formerly of OpenAI, asked if its cooperation in testing is genuine safety or a model that knows what researchers want to see. No third party validated any of it. That is a capability being held back. This one is about attackers who did not need it. SonicWall has confirmed that two previously undisclosed vulnerabilities in its SMA1000 series remote access appliances are under active exploitation. The vendor describes a pre-authentication flaw in the appliance workplace interface that exposes sensitive functionality, and a command injection issue in the management console reachable by an authenticated administrator. Affected hardware is the 6210, 72000200 Clate 7, Sevniriyod 00 Gliray, N827100 appliances and SonicWall firewalls are unaffected. These boxes sit at the edge of large enterprises, government agencies, and managed security providers, which is precisely why they keep getting picked. Hot fixes are out, and SonicWall wants them deployed immediately. Its guidance goes past patching. Review the appliance for signs of compromise, and if you find them, re-image the device and reset every credential and token on it. And when that kind of access turns into a publication, this is the scale it reaches. Manchester Airports Group disclosed a breach in August that has now landed in Have I Been Pwned at 8.7 million accounts. The group's line was that at no point was passenger safety or aviation security compromised, which on flight operations holds. FulcrumSec, which claimed the intrusion and published the data, reportedly took 86 gigabytes covering Manchester, Stansted, and East Midlands. Names, emails, phone numbers, addresses, browser details, vehicle registration plates, parking history, and lounge bookings. None of that endangers an aircraft. It is a fairly complete record of who drove to which terminal and when. Different subject, and for once a good outcome. 23 years. That is how long Sality ran, from a file-infecting virus first seen in 2003 to two peer-to-peer networks still holding more than 15,000 machines when the plug was pulled this week. International law enforcement, with CrowdStrike, the Shadow Server Foundation, and investigators from the United States, Bulgaria, Hungary, and Romania, went after the peer list holding the network together, replacing its super peers with sinkholes they controlled. Infected machines checking in now reach defenders rather than operators. Lately, Sality was smaller than its longevity suggests. For 8 years, it mostly delivered a clipboard hijacker that swaps a copied cryptocurrency address for the operator's own. CrowdStrike puts the take at $150,000, a thin return on 23 years. Shadow Server is now notifying owners via their internet provider. Same pattern, new actor, except this one is still running. If you're a public figure, the FBI's warning this week says you are the target, and so are your relatives and personal contacts. Its Internet Crime Complaint Center describes a consent phishing campaign active since late 2025, seeking durable access to private email and files. What makes it work is that it does not fight your defenses, it walks around them. The attacker registers an application with a legitimate identity provider, names it after a file sharing or verification service, then approaches the target posing as a journalist, academic, or official. Approve the permission request and the attacker is in, with no password involved. Changing a password does not revoke it, and a second factor does not stop it. The Bureau's advice is unglamorous. Verify contacts through a channel they did not choose, authorize only applications you trust, and revoke tokens you do not recognize. John Ternus's first memo as chief executive of Apple carries one line the industry read closely. We have a huge launch next week that's going to be phenomenal. Ternus took over on September 1st, replacing Tim Cook after 15 years, having run hardware engineering before that. The launch he means is the annual iPhone event on September 9th, rumored to bring Apple's first foldable iPhone alongside a rebuilt Siri meant to compete with ChatGPT and Claude. That is a lot of weight for a first week in the job. Cook's endorsement was warm and specific, calling his successor brilliant and wonderful and capable, and framing the choice around building products that change things rather than around operations, which is a pointed way to hand over a company he was praised for operating. Pass next week, reporting points at camera-equipped AirPods, smart glasses, and a touchscreen laptop. That is Apple looking forward. In court, it is looking backward. Apple has filed new allegations in its trade secret suit against OpenAI, built on a forensic analysis of a MacBook used by Chang Liu, a former electrical engineer who left for OpenAI in January. Per the filing, Liu downloaded a confidential Apple circuit schematic and ran a simulation with it in March. Apple also claims he told a colleague to destroy evidence once he learned of the probe and that he used a tool at OpenAI carrying the name of an internal Apple application. Apple's argument for urgency is that feeding trade secrets into a model creates uses that are irreversible and continually propagating. OpenAI has moved to dismiss. Staying with OpenAI, but a much lighter find. You would assume a chat application is a thin client wrapped around a server. Simon Willison went looking through his cache folder and found the OpenAI Codex desktop app, since rebranded to just ChatGPT, keeping 1.7 gigabytes in a runtime directory. Inside it, a full Python install at 440 megabytes, Node.js at 446, Git at 148, Poplar at 188, and a headless copy of LibreOffice at 430. Alongside them sit skills telling the model how to use each one, read as a whole, that is not a chat client. It is a local execution environment with a chat window on the front, able to open a spreadsheet, pull text out of a PDF, or run a repository's tests without asking a server for anything. The trade is disk space for capability, and OpenAI has quietly picked a side. To the money side of all this, $3.2 billion, 5 months after a $30 million Series A at a $300 million valuation. That is after Query, which Y Combinator partner Gustav Alstromer calls the fastest any startup has gone from launch to unicorn in the accelerator's history. The founders are in their early 20s. What the company sells is training data, but not the kind that checks whether a model answered correctly. After Query pays practitioners, doctors, lawyers, and other specialists to encode how they actually work through a task, then sells those traces to labs, training agents. Named customers include NVIDIA, Legora, and the South Korean lab, Motif Technologies. By April, it reported a $100 million annualized run rate. It competes with Mercor and Scale AI in a market betting. The scarce input is no longer text, but expert judgment captured in motion. That is the digest for September 2nd. Worth watching from here. Apple's event on the 9th is where a brand new chief executive gets his first real test, and Astra is the release to track once OpenAI moves it past a private preview. Thanks for listening. I'm Shmug.